Good evening, good evening, and welcome to my second outing as Hutton's chief button smasher and seamifier. I'm Wilma Finkadoo, and I am so much faster at uploading the show than all of you lot.
And a good thing it was too last week, as it was a green room week, and that normally takes me a whole day to upload.
If you remember.
Well, yeah, I remember, usually. I'm usually tired by that point.
I always remember, but I'm not the one pushing the buttons. I do try and hit you with the pan if you forget, though.
Yeah, you keep doing that to me, and it's not that I forget. It's just that I've got a wet bit of string as a network cable from my porta deck to the gal tube. It gets there eventually. A bit like a docking computer trying to thread a Type 10 through the toast rack of a busy station.
They should study my docking prowess. They could learn a thing or two from the repeated mug deliveries. Splash and dash with the gin.
Talking of splash and dash, it's time for this week's headlines.
LCU's reinvention as a bit of a personal banker.
Golnet nap swap as apology officer rescues Wotherspoon.
Too hot, too messy, plods along.
What's in a name? We ask the Alliance.
Atrus is bringing us the latest from Haxwing.
And Alex Zuno's back, and indignant over the number 1,000.
Finally, we bring up the rear with Hutton's latest BGS news. Tonight, there was outrage in the LCU No Camp Like One campaign headquarters of LCU No Fool Like One presidential campaign, as the Bank of Zeonts appear to have closed all of his bank accounts, citing his presidential bid as a risk to the bank and labelling him as a politically exposed person. LCU was swift to rebut the accusation, saying that any claims that he was exposed, politically or otherwise, were totally untrue. Unless, of course, you were talking about his last medical examination, in which case it was perfectly above board to have stripped in the manner that he did. Of course, the nurse performing the examination, part of the requirement of any presidential candidate to be a fit and proper person and definitely human, was admitted to a nearby infirmary and had to be given the smelling salts and a leaflet about PTSD. LCU did ask how he was supposed to know that all he had to do was to get a little prick, and the computer did the rest. Anyway, the closure of his Bank of Zeonts account is said not to have been related to his exposure, but as a result of his ongoing balance being far too low for a political candidate, and as such they've suggested alternative banking solutions, including stashing it all on his own fleet carrier, stuffing it under a mattress, and isn't his wallet big enough for that little wad of cash? It has left LCU in a predicament where he no longer is able to access his billions, acquired through vast amounts of exobiology and exploration, and a number of his clones having to borrow off friends. Political commentators have been fast to point the finger at incumbent President Hudson and have suggested that he has undue influence with the bank, ruling out all but the richest candidates, and by extension, they mean Hudson himself, and of course, ultra-squillionaire Rackham. LCU has fought back as he is working on a complex barter system, where for every 1,000 leaflets delivered to Federation space, he donates some of the Gnosis avian cheese, so rare, and to some so pungent, that very few people in the galaxy own some. Of course, federal taxation authorities are currently devising a new avian cheese tax and deliberating on whether to classify it as a foodstuff, poison, rare of mass destruction, or novelty toy.
Further to last week's report that Commander Wotherspoon of the Gullnet News Digest had been kidnapped and forced to write propaganda for the Empire, we're delighted to say that expert negotiators working for Hutton Orbital have managed to secure his release. This didn't come without a cost, and in this case, the team were looking for a willing volunteer for a hostage exchange. Not managing to find one, they looked through the archives for likely candidates, the kind of exchange that involved swapping the Wotherspoon for a super spy with expert escapology skills and a tendency to exact extreme prejudice on his, her, or their captors. The kind of person that stares out from movie posters, from action blockbusters, and gets mad at someone being mean to his dog or her mum. Of course, Hutton being Hutton, and Commander Rampage now being ruled out due to extreme age and infirmary after his various injuries, they drew a blank. So, they drew lots. And who was to get the short straw but Hutton's own apology officer? They weren't present when the draw was done and didn't answer the doorbell, but likely the crew's quarters after that incident with Cecil were detachable from the station. So, a waiting Type 9 was loaded up with the accommodation suite, which was marginally larger than a cargo canister, but only just, and the whole package was swapped with a waiting Imperial Cutter cargo pod containing the Wotherspoon just in time for this week's show. We've attempted to contact the apology officer to determine what their escape plan is. We've posted a Tunnox tea cake with a file in it, and of course secret plans for the detention centre written in authentic Ouija. But all we can hear is snoring and yawning. What dastardly task will they set for the apology officer to this week? Will the results be dipped in molten cheese and served on a stick? Will they have to partake in sordid bacchanalian orgies dressed in nothing but a toga? Only time will tell. The good news is that we managed to find the latest Hutton Helper results scrawled on a piece of paper in the studio. But by next week, we're looking for new candidates to be swapped to the Empire, as we reckon there's only one person capable of being litibulated, desalinated, shugled, mitigated, exploded, launched, verified, motivated, evacuated, ejected, manhandled or womanhandled, deliquesced and then smeared, deflected, emphasised, astrophised, lasered in the face, snuffed, flipped, flopped, mistranslated to and from Spanish, froth, chilled, mugged, ginned, wrapped up with a pretty bow, shipped, shot, rescued, stewed in their own juices, battered and deep fried, dead dropped, painted and rolled down a hill, destroyed, bought, phoned in, squeezed, inflated, patched, liquidated, evaporated, smelled, licked, discombobulated, recombobulated, mutinied or mutated, headbutted, eviscerated, compressed, enveloped, strained, fermented, murderized with an S, interrobanged, upcycled, violently downcycled, disallowed, reallowed after consulting VAR, loved, adored, cherished, and probinated, like our apology officer, and we might need them back.
After 48 weeks, or 11 long months, too hot, too messy, the Hutton-led initiative to deliver a Hutton mug and Centauri Mega Gin to all stations in the galaxy has recorded over 82,000 deliveries. Weekly numbers were about the same last week, and the four-weekly average is hovering around 1,200 deliveries a week. No new commanders joined this week, leaving the number signed up to 292, who are spread across 96 squadrons. Hutton still has the largest contingent with 93 commanders who have delivered over 43,000 mugs. The Buckyball Racing Club are in second place, closing on 5,000 deliveries. The Wind Hussars are holding third and not having moved in the week from 3,150. The Paladins are in fourth with 1,950. The Order of 12 have over 1,600 in 5th, the Burpit are 6th, the Anti-Xeno Initiative are 7th, the Soteria Accord are 8th, and the Undead are 9th. Elite Dangerous NZ are 10th. Membership of the Thousand Club remains at 10 squadrons. Commander Chix is still leading the deliveries table with almost 12,400 mugs delivered. Waller 81 is second, over 10,200 deliveries, ahead of Nem, in third with 6,400 deliveries. Sheer Blackwood is in fourth place with over 4,800, ahead of Infinite Dreamer in fifth, who has just broken 3,000. Talky Mouse is in 6th ahead of LDSK in 7th. Border Reader's recent push has taken him into a clear 8th place, 100 ahead of Rhys Lang in 9th. Sinister Hedgehog concludes the top 10. The Thousand Club still has 13 members of, as Val Silvana's renewed push didn't quite break the 1,000 mark. Maybe next week. Of course, we know all this because it is tracked live in the Too Hot, Too Messy event page in the Hot and Helper. Additionally, there's a chance to win a real-world dishwasher unsafe self-cleaning so that you don't have to hot and mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in the weekly Thursday to Thursday period will be entered into next week's draw to win a real hot and mug, unless, of course, you already have one. 47 lucky commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commanders table. As mentioned, last week's winner was Takamoto, so keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit. After the news, if you delivered 10 mugs and gin in every week since the start, 11 months ago, you'd have racked up at least 480 deliveries, and only 29, or only 1 in 10, have signed up commanders have achieved this. If you haven't, why not give it a try and share the burden for the next 4 years? In order to join the fun, you'll need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, and then your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Antares' organic, non-GMO, soya-fed, low-cholesterol replicant hamsters, which might not be able to pass a Voigtkamp test, but by using their set of very special skills, they will hunt you down and they will find you.
The Alliance. Normally devoid of the kind of political shenanigans that plague both the Empire and the Federation, has been dealing with a knotty issue after the resignation of one of its more high-profile figures after a bit of a scandal. The issue of political nominative determinism has raised its ugly head once again, after a number of political appointments appear to be either a bit of a joke, genuine scandal, or possibly just tabloid red top galactic publications latching onto a bit of low-hanging fruit and giving it a yank. After Minister for Trade Gordon Flasher was accused of getting a bit smashed at the conference and living up to his name, causing a by-election in his home system, after being banned from participating in BGS activities for 8 weeks, the finger has been pointed at a number of other dubiously named Alliance figures, including whether it's correct that Minister Rob Anybody should be in charge of the Exchequer, General Mayhem being head of Alliance Security, Temperance Smith being put in charge of Alliance Party Organising, and of course, Deforestation Kelly having oversight of the Green Party. All of the above maintain that their names mean absolutely nothing to their political views. Temperance has been known to have the odd gin and tonic. Minister Anybody says he has no fingers in any pies, and all of those donations were entirely above board, and most definitely not brown paper envelope backhanders. And of course, Mayhem states that he's part of a long succession of Mayhems, many of whom were pacifists. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But is there some truth in the accusations that if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and waddles like a duck, it's probably not a chicken? Only time will tell.
Good evening, trackers. Atrus 5060 reporting in with all the latest updates on the Thargoid War. Two maelstroms have been reduced to below 100 systems under Thargoid control. That's a nice small number, isn't it? With the remaining maelstroms losing territory. Humanity's taking back control in this fight, and we've got the Thargoids on the ropes. I'm going to be first one at the turnbuckle. AX, or is it Axe groups, including our very own illustrious Haxwing, yay! And our allies in MODE, or is it M-O-D-E, have been making quick work of the Thargoids, regaining territory at an incredibly fast rate. So fast I can't keep up with it. I'll probably have to talk to Alex later. The Thargoids are back under 1,000 systems under their control. There's a little bit more on that in a minute. And we've once again limited them to no invasions this week, and only a handful of populated alerts. Oya and Hadad Maelstroms have been pushed back dramatically. That's fantastic, that is. With only 30 systems remaining under control of the Oya Maelstrom and 65 for the Hadad Maelstrom. What will happen as we keep pushing the Thargoids back towards the Maelstrom remains to be seen, but we hope developments on how to defeat the Titans will come soon to finally see the conclusion of one theatre of war. Hexwing? Or is it HR? No, it's definitely Hexwing. Anyway, we've been doing our part, with Haxcom leadership at the minute very distracted by otherworldly manners. You've continued the good work of helping MODE Alliance, or maybe MODE, to keep the Thargoids in check, and possibly a nice plant pattern as well, as the Americans call it. Anyway, we've got no invasions this week, but Counter-Strike missions are going to be available via stations found in Thargoid alert systems. They should be seeking a bit of combat. Our mission for this week will be to end the alerts in populated systems surrounding Tyrannis Maelstrom, starting with Senosidi. You can find it if you look on a map. It's got little symbols next to it, or you can type in the top box. Anyway, after we clear those, we'll be moving to the other alerts across different maelstroms. Let's keep up the good work of keeping the Thargoids contained and retaking control of the bubble. Good luck out there, truckers. For the mug.
Our latest report from the Empire of the Fight paints a similar picture. Though there has been a little argument about Galnet reporting the number 1,000 shortly before it was not 1,000 anymore. Alexuna explains. In week 31, commanders repelled all 24 alerts with 17 inhabited, defended all 5 invasions at HIPs 20899, 29596 and 20890. Unctity and Coco O, and evicted 46 control systems with recaptures at Muchi Kicks, HIPs 20509 and 24329, Vistnero, Horseshoe, Call 285 Sector ZE-PC6-11, and Vogel Mangle beginning recovery. Becomes a total of 75 systems won versus the meagre 24 attacks. Contrary to the shameful Vox Galactica article in which the fraudulent Jade Sandalin claims over 1,000 Thargoid systems, this number fell below said 1,000 on the day of publication and is now at most 965. Maelstroms Hadad and Thor were manipulated into losing 2 attacks each, and Legong losing 4. So severe is our crippling of the Thargoid front that Maelstrom Oya already is short 1 attack this week, and Legong short 2. As warm thanks for giving much of your time on Thursday evenings to the distinct enjoyment of the Imperial Navy Mathematics Department, we invite the Hutton Orbital Truckers Cooperative to choose one or more Thargoid control targets of reasonable strength for expedited eviction. Approximately, this could be one previously populated system at around 25 years from a light maelstrom, or 3 empty systems at a similar distance. However you decide, be it by asking the Hutton Antizeno Wing, your audience, or for Alvin to put Royal Port onto Galaxy Map, your choice named from the relative comfort of Studio 5 will be made very much alien-free by the weekend.
Much like recent weeks, you could argue that there is bugger all of much interest going on in Hutton space. 6 systems are on the naughty step, and 1 minor issue is flagged on the Master Control Situation Display panel board, but more on those stories coming up. For the third week in a row, we have two systems locked in a wooden spoon packed on 30. However, this week it's our old favourite Barnard Star dropping 8 points and Ross 671 dropping 5. Barnard Star has an election for second place, which 10th Fleet are contesting, a warp ending, three infrastructure failures and a blight, all of which are causing Huck and Truckers to be elated. It doesn't take much. They're easily pleased. Ross 671 has a war tying up over a third of influence, so there's nothing much to be done in either system this week. That sound means breaking news. Ross 671 has snatched the wooden spoon from Barnard Star between the start of the show and the BGS by losing two more points. Topping 3 points to 31, Stein 2051 has both an election and a civil war pending, which will tie up much of system influence for the forthcoming week. A war for second place has just started in 36 Ofiuki, dropping it to 34. Terrorists are running amok in Y0855-0714, so ship in weapons to the medium pad at Yamazaki Landing and hand in any Hutton bounties you may acquire. Still maintaining its point a week upward trend, the notoriously hard-to-move Epsilon Indy has managed to soar to the anxiety-inducing heights of 38. The smelling salts have been deployed and more are on standby for next week. Keeping Indy company on 38 is LP525-39. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have no fewer than 8 systems on or above 60%, two of which are over 70. That means we have more systems outside the 40 to 60 zone than in it. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, and the answer is yes, you do, boost LP525-39 and he'll pass Psy. If you want to shoot something, vaporize some terrorists in Y0855-0714.